Becoming a highly honored mother. That surely is the desire of every mother listening to my voice anywhere in the nation, and especially here in this sanctuary. Today we're paying tribute to the important mothers in our lives. And I must, of course, begin by giving tribute to my own mother who died in 1977. Helen Beasley Falwell, one of 16 children. Had her parents been here this morning, you would not have won. They, 16 children, plus mom and daddy, 18 at the dinner table. And my mother learned from her mother how to be a godly mother. And my wife, Maisel, who has raised up our children and now cooperating with the parents in helping and blessing the grandchildren. I'm honored to have, as most of you, fathers and husbands and adult men here, two great mothers in my life. And at the risk of sounding trite, I repeat what you've heard many times, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. There is no question about that. I am more a product of my mother's prayers than anything else, because growing up without the Lord, my father did not become a Christian until he was 3 days from death. And a Gideon took a Presbyterian pastor by to visit him. I was 15. Gene and I, my twin and I, we didn't really know what was being done. Went into the private bedroom with my dad, and there at our home led him to faith in Christ. You know, Mother's Day was first observed in Boston in 1872. It was the suggestion of Julia Ward Howe. You know that name. She wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. But it was Anna Jarvis, a daughter of a Methodist minister in Grafton, West Virginia, who really ultimately made Mother's Day a national event. During the Civil War, Anna's mother organized Mother's Day work clubs to care for wounded soldiers, both Union and Confederate, raised money for medicine, inspected bottled milk, improved sanitation, hired women to care for families where mothers suffered from tuberculosis, and so much more. And in her honor, her mother's honor, Anna Jarvis persuaded her church to set aside the second Sunday in May, the anniversary of her mother's death, as a day to appreciate all mothers. Encouraged by the reception, Anna also organized in Philadelphia and then began a letter-writing campaign to ministers, business leaders, politicians to establish a National Mother's Day. And in response, on May 9, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the first National Mother's Day as a, quote, public expression of love and reverence for the mothers of our country. My office in the Carter Glass Mansion, just about a half mile from here, is located in the home of Senator Carter Glass, who, during Woodrow Wilson's presidency, was his Secretary of the Treasury. He actually drafted the Glass-Steagall Act there, co-drafted, which formed the Federal Reserve System, and he worked under Woodrow Wilson. And it was at that time when the Mother's Day became a national event. I want to talk to you about a biblical supermodel of a mother. Now, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the ultimate, the eternal ultimate. But I want to talk to you about a biblical supermodel. Her name was Rebekah. In Genesis 58 through 60, we have the story of what the eldest servant of Abraham encountered when he, upon the instructions of his master Abraham, went to the far country to find a bride for his son Isaac. And he found Rebekah at a well. I won't take the time to go through all of this, but when he found Rebekah, he put out the fleece, and she responded in every way as he had prayed and put out the fleece that she would respond. And so he told her that God had sent him to find a bride for his master Isaac. And so she then went to her father, Bethuel, and her brother Laban, And the family conclave met together with the eldest servant of Abraham to decide, can our daughter, my sister, Laban's sister, go to the far country to marry someone she has never seen? Genesis 24, 58, 59, 60. So they call Rebekah, that's father and brother. Bethuel and Laban call Rebekah, their daughter and sister. Are you willing to go with this man? They ask her. And she replied, yes, I will go. So they told her goodbye, sending along the woman who had been her childhood nurse. And notice, they blessed her with this blessing as they parted, a twofold blessing. Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. Second, may your descendants overcome all your enemies. Now then, Abraham's eldest servant had found the right person at the right place, because in Genesis 24, 27, he was asked, how in the world did you find the right woman among the right people, people you had never met? And his answer was, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Obeying the Lord, I went God's way, and he led me to the right place, to the right woman, and thus Isaac's bride was found. Now take note of that double blessing I just read you in verse 60. First of all, the father and the brother conferred upon Rebekah the blessing of great fruitfulness. Verse 60, our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. And she did, because out of Isaac and Rebekah's loins came the Jewish nation and eventually our Savior, the Lord Jesus. The second blessing, victorious children. Verse 60, may your descendants overcome all your enemies. What more could a mother, a model mother, ask than that she might be fruitful and produce victorious, spiritually victorious children? Now, how do you become a model mother? Well, let's begin with a mother in the Old Testament named Ruth. Obviously, time doesn't allow us to go into a lot of detail, but you know the story of Ruth. And in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Ruth was honored for family loyalty. Ruth was honored for family loyalty. I'll read that to you in a moment. I believe family is everything. Outside our relationship with God, family is everything else. And I love family loyalty. Our family is very traditional in that regard. My wife, Maisel, has pictures of before we were married and all the way through, almost daily, the birth of every child, the kindergarten graduation, the little league, and we go through them real often. And up to the present day, now the grandchildren, our house is hardly able to have enough wall space for all the things that have happened. And she has made me be present for everything involving our children, not too bad with three, and now eight grandchildren, pretty bad, where I'm in everything they are doing, no matter what, whether it's 8:30 in the morning, like this past week, for Caroline and Natalie and Nicholas, for their first grade event at 8:30 in the morning, or whether it was the ELC graduation here last week at 7 o'clock at night, or whatever. It is because life with the family, to us, beyond the life with Christ, is of paramount importance. Ruth was honored because of her family loyalty. Now, it came to pass, Ruth 1, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one wife was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died. Also, all both of them, and the woman, Naomi, was left. Her husband, her two sons were dead, and left of her two sons, her husband, and there was Naomi, and there was Ruth and Orpah. Now, Ruth lived in a pagan land. She lived in Moab. Ruth was a Moabite girl who married Mahlon, the eldest son of Elimelech and Naomi. And after 10 years of marriage, her husband Mahlon died, and Naomi was going back to her homeland, Bethlehem, and she suggested to Ruth that you stay here where you're at home in Moab. She would not. Because of her loyalty to her family, she accompanied Naomi back to Bethlehem. And notice the declaration of Ruth. The declaration of Ruth from Ruth 1:16. Whither thou goest, talking to Naomi, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. I often use that in weddings, though it's not used in that context here, because that is exactly the commitment a young man or young lady will make to the other when they decide to be married for life. Ruth met Boaz as she picked up the leftover grain in his field for Naomi and herself. Boaz was kin to Naomi, and because of that contact, she later married Boaz. And Boaz, being the kinsman redeemer, as a husband, caused her to become the great-grandmother of King David. Imagine a nobody, a Moabite girl. Because of loyalty to her family, God gave her another family with a direct connection to David and later to Christ. She was the grandmother. She became the great-grandmother of King David. And you'll find her name in the genealogy leading to Christ himself in Matthew 1:5, 6, and 16. That's Ruth. Look at Elizabeth in the New Testament, the mother of John the Baptist. She was honored for her submission. She was faithful. She and her husband Zacharias loved and served God. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And look at Luke 1:6 and 7. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances in the Lord, blameless, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It was an embarrassing thing for a woman in biblical days not to have a son. She had no children, and Elizabeth was sorrowful, and the scripture says God blessed her with a child. Luke 1:24 and 25, after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. She was overjoyed because of her pregnancy. And remember the encounter when Mary, pregnant with the Lord Jesus, the Virgin Mary, came and met her cousin Elizabeth and spoke to her. Well, here's what it says in verse 41 of Luke 1. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, she was willing to trust God. She was willing, Elizabeth, to pay the price, to wait before the Lord, to fast and pray. And in her old age, she did not let the burden of her barrenness and the public disgrace that it brought affect her zeal for the Lord. She encouraged her young cousin Mary during what had to be a difficult time for both these mothers to be. One was carrying the Son of God in her womb. The other was carrying John the Baptist, an elderly mother and a virgin woman. And both of them were going through tough times, but she chose to be an encourager. She submitted to God's will for her life, and God honored her. And then there's Hannah in the Bible. We just dedicated our little babies to Christ. Remember how Hannah was barren also, and the Lord, in answer to prayer, gave her a child, a baby named Samuel. And Hannah was one of Elkanah's two wives. For many years, she was brokenhearted. She had no child. Elkanah's other wife was Peninnah, who had children, and she ridiculed Hannah. She visited the tabernacle, Hannah did, in Shiloh, and stood there praying silently one day. Eli thought she was drunk and rebuked her, and then learned that she had come there to pray for a child. And Eli told her to go back home, and God would give her a son, and he did. And she brought the son back and dedicated that son to the Lord. How did Hannah go from barren to a mother of six children and want a great prophet? By submitting to the will of God, no matter how painful, and for being willing, if God gave her a child, to give it back to the Lord. That's what these parents, grandparents did today. They gave their child that God gave to them back to the Lord who gave it. Hannah was honored because she realized that what all parents should realize, that God gives us our children that we might give them back to Him. Let's move out of biblical mothers and let's move to some model modern mothers. I think of Henrietta Mears. Henrietta Mears was honored for mentoring other parents' children. She never married. She had no children. She was a great and godly woman who led a youth ministry at Hollywood Presbyterian Church in Southern California in the mid-20th century. She built a huge, huge class of young single adults there and led many to Christ, like Bill Bright. She mentored many, like Billy Graham. She led Dale Evans to Christ, the wife of Roy Rogers and many other movie stars in those days. She influenced many evangelical leaders like Dawson Trotman, who founded Navigators, and Don Mumaw, the great pastor. And though she never married, she had hundreds of spiritual children. Billy Graham said of Henrietta Mears, "I doubt if any other woman outside my wife and mother has had such a marked influence on my life. She is certainly one of the greatest Christians I've ever known." I'm saying that to the single women here today, who for whatever reason God has not allowed you to marry or not allowed to have you to have a child, then you don't have to bless biological children. You can bless spiritual children. And as a Sunday school teacher, as a nursery worker, imagine 566 babies in a nursery. If they were in here, we wouldn't have church. If they were in here. Thank God there are people who give their hearts and lives to work with little children while we sit here and sing and minister and teach and preach the word. Now then, God's looking for Henrietta Mears everywhere. Great women of God who will say, "I'll give my life." I've known so many great women who never married and took care of their parents all of their lives and then served the Lord on a side, doing something that only they could do and could not do had they been married. So it is not the will of God for everyone to marry. And then there's Nancy Lincoln. She was honored for training a world leader. Abraham Lincoln said of his mother, Nancy, "God bless my mother. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to her." I wonder how many people in this room would say the same thing truthfully. Nancy was a good and loving mother to her children. She was very ambitious for them and hoped that they could have the opportunities in life that she had missed, that they would have more than she. She read to Abraham Lincoln from the Lincoln Family Bible every day. And Lincoln said before he died, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." We're talking about becoming highly honored mothers. Then there's Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley was honored for mentoring her own biological children. She had 10 children that grew to maturity. She actually had 19, but 10 of them grew to maturity in tougher times. And most notable among those 10 were two preachers, John and Charles Wesley. And it was a large family for her to raise and educate while she carried out all of her household responsibilities and served as the wife of a minister of the gospel. Susanna Wesley educated her own children and dedicated 1 hour per week to each of her 10 children to evaluate their spiritual character and to mentor them. Her best legacy was her children, particularly John Wesley, because it was in the Epworth, England parsonage that he acquired the focused leadership that would empower his life. John Wesley had the greatest influence on England in the 18th century of anyone. And he founded what we know as the Methodist Church today. His mother was very impetuous, too. She went to the Archbishop of Canterbury one day to get John Wesley appointed as a missionary to Savannah, Georgia. Later, she was the one who insisted that other men be ordained into the Methodist Church, which John started and at the time was the only preacher in the movement. Susanna Wesley lived just long enough to see the fruit of her motherly work. 2 months before she died in July 1742, John preached a series of revival messages in their hometown of Epworth to the largest crowds that had ever gathered in that part of the nation. Mother got to see that before she went to heaven. Another son, Charles Wesley, is remembered for the hundreds of hymns he wrote, which have brought great joy to the churches down through 2.5 centuries. And it was the courageous and the tenacious faith of a Bible-believing mother with little to do but help her husband, who was a pastor, and minister on a daily basis to 10 children. And as a result, she gave Christianity and Christendom two of the most important figures in church history. If you want to be a highly honored mother, there are things you've got to do. You've got to be family-oriented, family-loyal. If you're going to be somebody special in the Lord's kingdom, you've got to be committed to mentoring and teaching and loving and sacrificing, because God wants you to be all that you can be as a mother. As these mothers came by, and fathers and grandparents, it was my honor and privilege to pray a blessing upon the child and upon the family. Because without mother, up till now and from now on, dad's important too, but without mother rocking the cradle as a godly woman, that child will never reach his or her potential. May God call each mother listening to my voice anywhere to a life of godliness and sacrifice and commitment, realizing that whether you're married or single, God will give you children by the thousands. That was the double blessing that was prayed upon Rebecca, when the father said, "Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions, and may your descendants overcome all your enemies." Victorious children. Let's pray. Mother's Day 2007. I don't know whether your mother's living or dead. Mine died 30 years ago. My wife's died in 1973. But I know this, that you are in great debt to your mother. And if you are a mother and God has given you children, or spiritual children to whom you can teach and minister, it is the highest calling on earth. Do not take it lightly. God wants you to realize you can change the world by being a very special mother. And Dad, I want to tell you, it's a mutual calling. If I was asked by a major media person this week who came here from CNN to do a 6-hour documentary, I was asked, "What's America's greatest problem today?" I said, "That's very, very easy to answer. The breakdown of the family. Half the kids who grow up in America this year grow up without a father in the home. Many don't know who their father is. And I can tell you that is guaranteed disaster. Because as godly and wonderful as a Susanna Wesley can be, there's a great need for a man of God there as well. And may the Lord speak to all our hearts today so that we don't lose a single one of our children. I don't believe you have to lose a single child. I believe you can win every one of them if you start at day one, if you start when they're 1 day old, and live the consistent life and teach the consistent message and make family, second to God only, the main thing in your life. I want us to stand for prayer right now. We're going to sing, "My Jesus, I Love Thee. I Know Thou Art Mine." For thee all the follies of sin I resign. And I want, as we sing it, that no one would leave till the final amen. This is the most important part of this Mother's Day service. I want you to step out and come. Balcony down the two stairwells either side. Main floor down the aisle nearest you. Meet a pastor here. Go to the prayer room where a counselor will open the Bible and kneel and pray with you. And settle it. Make peace with God today. Make that everlasting life decision today. Become a Christian today. Or come back to the Lord today. Or join this church today. If you're not a member of a Bible preaching church, I invite you to join Thomas Road Church today. We welcome you into our fellowship on this Mother's Day. So from upstairs and down, in this our third service of the morning, I want you to do what some have already done today. Put Him first in your life. Heavenly Father, do now for each person here what we cannot do for them. Meet them at the point of their need. Save the lost, reclaim the backslider. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Step out, come down, meet the pastors. As we sing, we wait on you.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign.
Have any others come on and join us here? Sing one final stanza.